Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It is fantastic to have your company for another episode of the show. Now, before I introduce you to our guest, I want to let you know that if you're a dental practice owner and you want to take your practice to the next level to really achieve more, then I'm going to invite you to grab a copy of our free report. And our free report is called How to Build a High Performance Dental Practice Without Spending More Time in It. So when you download this report, you're going to get all the info on how to have more money, more time, more patience, and a whole lot less stress in your life. So to get a hold of that report, you just need to go to savvydentist.com/high-performance-report. And that address once again is savvydentist.com/high-performance-report. It's totally free and it's going to help you take your practice to the next level. So now let's talk about our guest. Our guest today is Dr. Chuck Reinertsen, and Chuck has been exploring the link between oral health and systemic health for many, many years. And in this conversation, you're going to hear his passion about this, about elevating the profession in the eyes of the public and our medical colleagues. And once you've heard him speak, you're going to be better able to connect the dots between oral health and systemic health. And once you get this really going in your practice, you'll be able to see that the increase in patient compliance, the increase in patient acceptance of what we do is going to really drive patients into your practice, keep them in the practice, and they'll be seeing you as a healthcare practitioner rather than, in his words, a tooth mechanic. So if you want to find out more about Chuck and what he does, head across to the dentalmedicalconvergence.org and you'll find a bunch of information, research papers, and a whole lot of things there that are going to really pique your interest. Now, this episode is a little different to what we normally talk about, but I think you'll find it really interesting and thought-provoking, and it'll just add another string to the bow of your practice, and I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I enjoyed having it with Chuck. Here he is. Dr. Chuck Reinertsen, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join us all the way from Florida in the United States. How are you today?
Fantastic, fantastic. How about yourself?
Very well indeed, thank you. Very well indeed. Now, Chuck, you've been interested, fascinated by, involved with the oral systemic link for 30, 40 years or more now. And we're going to be having a long and deep conversation about that and the evolving understanding and the increasing depth of understanding around that. But I'm curious to ask, 30, 40 years ago, you would have been almost ahead of your time, quite the pioneer in that field. I'm wondering, for those of us who haven't had that benefit of experience, can you tell us what those early days were of talking about that link between oral and systemic health? What was it like? How easy was it to talk about, and what's been that journey like for you?
Well, let's go back even before dental school. As a Boy Scout, we learned about infections and how to clean a wound, and you wanted to make sure that was clean. So when I was in dental school, we asked some of the instructors, what about the infections in the mouth? Aren't they going to get in the bloodstream? At that point, we were told, oh, no, there's an oral barrier, just like there's a blood-brain barrier, just like there's a placental barrier. And we were like, well, okay, because, I mean, we're students, and those are the instructors, and we believed them. Well, it was some years later, that actually 2012, that I saw some recordings from the AOSH, American Academy of Oral Systemic Health, and it linked what's happening with the bacteria in the mouth and just how it affects the heart, how it affects the pancreas, how it affects so much of the body. It was like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. So a light clicked on, and then I started looking. And if you go all the way back to 1934, Dr. Wilbur Post, who was a physician, wrote a letter to the Journal of the American Dental Association saying that diseased teeth are the source of many of our diseases. They should be removed even if they have no symptoms, even if they don't hurt. And since then, there have been dozens of studies that show the exact same thing. In the year 2000, the United States Surgeon General wrote a big report that basically says you need a healthy mouth to have a healthy body. So my question is, as time has gone on, is why don't we include the mouth when we're looking at someone's health? So that's what we've tried to do in our office, is help people connect the dots between the infections they have in their mouth that are pain-free, that affect the heart, the brain, the whole body. So that's kind of what got me going. And then watching the results of people. When you can see you take care of their dental situation and their medical situation greatly improves, that gives you great feeling and validation for what you're doing.
Yeah, that's really interesting and fascinating because, you know, when I went through university, which was, well, gosh, in the 1990s, there was some, you know, very early conversations about, hey, we think there's a relationship between periodontal disease and heart disease. We think there's a relationship between the different proteins found in, you know, periodontal disease and atheromas and so on and so forth. But what I'm curious to ask you about, just for the sake of the audience, some people will be really across these links between oral and systemic health, and others maybe just, you know, starting to learn about that. What sort of diseases are typically linked to oral disease? What sort of systemic diseases, that is, are linked to oral diseases?
Well, cardiovascular disease is a biggie. Back in 2017, there's a paper in the British Medical Journal from Drs. Bale and Donin that actually proves that the bacteria in periodontal disease are causative. That's a huge word. Causative for cardiovascular disease. So there's one thing right there. When you replace a heart valve, why did it go bad? Well, it's full of bacteria. What kind of bacteria? It's oral bacteria, most of them. When you look at blood clots, they've taken blood clots out of people that had either strokes or heart attacks and analyzed the bacteria that are in there. And sure enough, you've got, for heart attacks, a lot of times it's dental abscesses that is that bacteria that's causing it. And for cardiovascular disease, it's the periodontal bacteria that's causing it. So they're finding it everywhere. Like I said, it's causative. That's a big deal right there.
That's a big word because often they'll use the word correlation rather than causation. Mm-hmm. And so what was the link between, or what allowed them to make that jump from correlation, what has been used in the past, to causation? What was the tipping point for that?
You'd have to read the whole study on exactly how they did it. It was 2017. They were just looking for the bacteria. Mm. Where they found it in the artery walls is one of the places they were finding it. Okay. In the artery walls. And so there's certain bacteria that open up and make the inner wall of the artery more permeable. And was it Fusobacterium nucleatum, I think is one of them they have, that opens up and makes it more permeable so other substances can get into the wall. That was one of the biggies right there.
Chuck, I'm curious to ask about how broadly this has been adopted by our medical colleagues. I can see you smiling and chuckling there. You know, you mentioned to me off air that the mouth is the front door to the body, and I really like that metaphor. It's a wonderful metaphor. If it is the front door and it is the pathway into the body, why is it that, you know, perhaps, you know, teaching in the medical fraternity hasn't caught up with that? You know, perhaps it is catching up, but what's the state of play in that?
I'll tell you a personal story. About 5 years ago, I picked up a bug in an airplane, and physically I was getting sick. I was getting sicker and sicker. Mm-hmm. And my wife finally brought me to the hospital, make sure I wasn't having a heart attack. So they went in. The first doctor looked in my mouth, and and that was a quick glance. I said, "What are you looking at?" And she goes, "We're looking for redness and swelling." I said, "You're looking right past the biggest polluter of the bloodstream." And she said, "What?" I said, "We'll talk later," because I was not doing that well. So I was in the hospital for 4 days. I asked every doctor, nurse, and administrator for 4 days, is there any link between the health of the mouth and the rest of the body? Nope, news to me. I've never heard that. I got to one cardiologist. He was like, absolutely, there's a big link. I thought, well, we need more than one doctor in this whole hospital to understand that the mouth really does play a role in our overall health. So I decided wouldn't it be great to be a dentist to do oral exams on the patients when they're lying in their beds, because everything we need is portable, and at least rule out the mouth as a source of the bacteria. And so I applied to be on staff. Well, showing you how the medical community thinks, my first letter of rejection said I wasn't certified by the American Board of Dentistry and only 1% of dentists are. Well, I had to point out to them, there is no American Board of Dentistry. Every state has a board. And how can 1% of dentists be certified by an organization that doesn't exist? Can you explain that to me? Well, we're sorry, you can apply again. So I applied again. They had me taking courses on blood transfusion, insulin regulation. I said, I'm not going to do that. Well, you got to take the courses. The final meeting was me and about 12 of the doctors, and they all agreed that, yes, the mouth could play a role in your health, but they didn't want me coming in and diagnosing things that they couldn't treat. I said, wait a minute. Every week I diagnose things I can't treat. I refer to that patient as someone who can treat it. Their answer, we don't want to be in the referral business.
Wow.
Okay. So is it about the patient or about something else? And that's when I learned that this is an uphill battle. So what we're doing is trying to go to dentists and then directly to the patients. But if the dentist can understand the link and grasp the significance of oral health, how would it affect that? And if the patients of that dentist understand that this dentist is not just a tooth mechanic, he's actually a healthcare provider, then your reputation goes way up with those patients, because this is somebody who's interested in not just my teeth and my smile and my chewing, but my whole body. So yeah, that's what got me actually angry.
I don't blame you.
I mean, this is not the way you treat people. So anyway, that triggered my really deep dive into it.
Let's talk about the transition from tooth mechanic to healthcare provider. From a dentist listening to this who says, you know, traditionally I've been going through my usual exam process. I'm looking for caries, perio, et cetera. But yeah, I'm doing my scale and cleans, and I'm doing my cavity restorations and so on and so forth, you know, composite resin and the like. What's that transition, you know, where you start to become really interested and educated about that link between oral and systemic health? What's that look like in general practice when, you know, people saying, I've got, you know, people coming through the door, the phone's ringing, the team needs something, there's, you know, Mrs. Smith who's, you know, got her screaming baby in the waiting room or whatever it happens to be. How does one kind of transcend that day-to-day practice and start thinking more like a healthcare provider?
For me, a lot of it begins on the new patient examination. When you're sitting down with that patient for the first time and you're explaining what you're doing. And there's so many times when we've finished our new patient examination, people say, I've never had an exam like that before.
Yeah.
This is different. Yeah, that's the good place to start. But when you have someone coming in with an emergency, they have an abscess, they have a toothache, that's a wonderful, but hey, you know this pus that you have in your jaw right here? That's not staying in your jaw. Do you think it's healthy to have pus running through your arteries 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? You don't have to have MD or DMD by your name to realize that's not a good thing. So, you know, if you can just spend a little bit of time and say, hey, the infection in your mouth isn't staying in your mouth. It's going to the rest of your, wherever you have blood supply, that bacteria, that pus, that garbage right there is going to your heart. It's going to your brain. It's going to your pancreas. Most patients they get that. It's like, oh my God, but it doesn't hurt. Well, neither does high blood pressure, diabetes, glaucoma, or cancer. So when you say that, they're like, well, oh yeah, you're right. That doesn't hurt either. So now you're kind of helping to educate them and they're like, oh my gosh. And it's so many times where we'll have like a husband and wife in this one situation a couple of weeks ago, the husband came in first and we did the examination, talked to him, did the same thing. And it was the next week his wife came in and she says, I don't know what you told my husband, but I've never seen him take this good a care of his teeth ever.
That's fantastic. And,
yeah, because a little light bulb went on in his head that, oh my gosh, that makes sense. Nobody's ever said that before. And if you have an infection in your leg, can that bacteria get in the bloodstream?
Yeah. Of course.
If you have an infection in your arm, can that bacteria get in your bloodstream? If you have an infection in your mouth and there's no pain, can that bacteria get in your bloodstream? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was having dinner with a cardiologist and he was sitting across the table from me and I asked him those exact questions, you know, how about one in the leg, in the arm, or in the mouth? And after I said, if the patient doesn't know it and you don't know it, are you still going to go ahead and do surgery on him? And you should have seen the look on his face. And next thing out of his mouth was great. It was like, all of our patients need an oral examination.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That's all we're saying. But here's the challenge. This caring cardiologist works for an organization that doesn't want them to do that. So yeah. His hands are tied because we don't want to get a dental exam on these patients. So that kind of bothers me. That's why we're going right to the dentist and to the public.
Yeah. So just coming back to that new patient exam for a moment, because I think that you're right. I think that's a gateway into educating patients as they come through the door. And you've given me a couple of really good examples of what you might say to a patient who's coming in for an emergency with an abscess and so on. But in that new patient exam where perhaps they're not in an acute situation or they're a regular new patient, What sort of things are you asking, or what sort of things are you saying to your new patients in that regard? Is it similar to what you said for the emergency, or how are you educating your patients and bringing that conversation up?
Well, the first thing I do is ask them, what are your dental goals? How can we help you? What are you after? And usually they're not asking about a Hollywood smile. They're asking about, I want to be healthy. I don't want to have any, I want to hang on to my teeth. I don't want to have any. I said, fantastic. We're on the same page. That's great. Let me explain what happens with the infections you have in your mouth, because they don't stay in your mouth. And I'll ask them, if you have the same thing we just talked about, if you had an infection in your leg, and you get what? And they're like, well, yeah, well, it's the same thing in your mouth. Oh, wow, but it doesn't hurt. And we say, yeah, neither does high blood pressure, diabetes, glaucoma, or cancer. So they're grasping it. And it's like they have to, again, connect the dots. They have to see it. But once it makes sense to them, then it changes the way they're looking at their mouth. Like we said, it's the front door to the body.
And I would imagine if that's the case, you've already spoken about that patient whose husband became, you know, very fastidious with his oral care. Yeah. I'm imagining that your patients, when you start that conversation from them being a new patient, it's easier to then have that compliance over an extended period of time. So you're going to retain your patients longer because they're now intrinsically motivated, not just to take care of their oral health, but to take care of their general health, which begins by taking care of their oral health.
Yeah, the compliance goes way up. When you've got a patient that maybe they've got, you know, 6-7 millimeter pockets and bleeding and mobility on the teeth, and all they want to do is just get a prophy. Just polish them up a little bit. And then when you explain to them, look, this is the infection going on here. This is the bacteria. And we have a microscope. So we'll take back some of the plaque and we'll put it on the slide and say, this is what's crawling around in there. This is what you have. And some patients are like, I don't want to see it. Others are like, wow, that's in my mouth. But they see that we're not joking. I mean, we're not just trying to do more treatment. The reason I would love to get physicians more involved is because when the dentist tells them you need some periodontal treatment, for instance, or you need some root canals, or you need some other things, in the patient's mind, they're thinking, yeah, you want to make more money. That's what it is. It's all about money. When the physician tells them, hey, you've got, you know, a gum disease, you've got a tooth abscess, that's getting into your bloodstream, that can affect your heart, your brain, a lot of other things. You need to get that done. That carries a different weight than when the dentist tells them the exact same thing. So, but if the patient understands it, if they get common sense, then they're motivated. And that's really the whole idea, is to have them motivated to take care of it. And we use a lot of disclosing tablets. Remember those?
Yeah, I do. I still remember. Actually, I have to remember the first time I had them as a university student. I forgot to put the Vaseline on my lips, and I was walking around with red lips forever after that. I looked quite the clown. But yeah, so you use a lot of disclosing tablets to educate your patients. And at what age do you think patients really need to hear about this? Is it, you know, is this something that affects the older generation? Is it something that affects all generations? I mean, clearly bacteria getting into the bloodstream can affect anyone, but I'm curious to ask, is there a tipping point? Is there an age or stage of life where this becomes more dangerous than at other times? Or is it something we need to be doing from the get-go?
Well, it's cumulative over many, many years. So the younger you start, the less problems you're going to have. So if you're 60 years old before you realize that, oh my gosh, this could be a problem, you've already done a lot of damage inside the body. You just don't know it. There's no pain. So the younger they are that you can start, the better it is. And that's our whole goal, is let's develop these habits right now so that you can have a lifetime of a healthy mouth and avoid. What I'm telling every patient is the more time you spend at home taking care of your dental situation, the less time you spend in my chair. The less time you spend taking care of your teeth at home, the more time you spend in my chair. And the more money is going to cost you. What would you rather do? And they smile and they say, okay, I got it. So the idea of see your dentist twice a year, brush your teeth twice a day. You know where that came from?
Where?
A toothpaste commercial back in the 1940s. There's nothing scientific about it.
Gosh.
Nothing scientific at all. It's just they could sell twice as much toothpaste if you brush your teeth twice a day. And that's what they did.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Yeah, there's nothing scientific about that at all. As you know, there are people that need 3-month frequency, and you might 6-month. You got some that once a year is fine. They do such a wonderful job at home. So there's nothing magic about that. But it kind of stuck and people thought that. But what I'm encouraging people is to one time a day, spend 8 to 10 minutes thoroughly cleaning your teeth. Checking yourself about once a week or so with disclosing solution, which I do on myself. I do about a once a month just to make sure, because I've got teeth, I've got gums, I have the same situation as anybody else. But if they can get really good at it, they can have competition between husband and wife, see who has the least amount of stain on their teeth. They can get a prize, or between the kids. So the whole idea is let's push prevention as much as we can. If it's your family, what would you want? I mean, when one person has a heart attack or a stroke, it doesn't affect one person. It affects the whole family. Everybody's life is turned upside down. Wouldn't it be nice not to go through that?
What I'm really understanding around that, lots of threads of conversation I'd love to explore, but what I'm really understanding around all of that is it's just so much easier to prevent than to deal with the knock-on effects. As you said, you know, a heart attack, a stroke, cancer, all those sorts of illnesses that come from this oral systemic interface really are devastating diseases, devastating life events. And for the sake of taking good care of your teeth at home, it seems so simple, right? But for whatever reason in the past, advertising, we haven't really got into the right habits and understood that relationship, which I think is key. So I'm curious to ask how many people go and ask their doctor about the relationship between the oral and the oral health and systemic health. How many people actually go out and do that? And when you've asked your patients to go and do that, or have you experienced others, just as a bit of a rough guide, what degree of the medical profession are aware of that? You said that there was one cardiologist, one caring cardiologist, but in general practice, what's the awareness like?
Very, very little, very little. We're just dentists. We're not really doctors, you know.
Which is, we're the guys that couldn't get into med school, right?
Couldn't get into medical school, yeah. Like I mentioned, my brother's a pediatrician, and not all kids get well. I didn't want to go that way. I wanted to be a dentist. I like it better. But no, the whole idea is if we can prevent the problems, everybody wins. Yeah. And an illustration is if you got your drinking water out of a river, but up the river, there was a factory, and that factory was polluting the river. Even if the water tasted good, would it be okay to drink the water? Probably not. Well, you're still going to have to drink water, but what do? You go up and clean up the factory. So you're not polluting the river. In the United States, in Flint, Michigan, they had a big deal with lead that was polluting the water that they had. And so people for a long time were drinking this lead contaminated water with all kinds of diseases after that. So just because the water tasted okay, they didn't know there was any issues with it, it was not okay. And just because we feel okay, just because nothing hurts, doesn't mean a thing. So this is why we need to, let's really do a thorough examination in the mouth, which again, that includes perio probing. Airway is an issue. I don't know if you get into that very much over there as far as sleep apnea, but that's huge. A dental issue. That's many times it's a dental issue. Occlusion. Man, if the bite is off, that can give you headaches, neck aches, all kinds of problems. So making sure you have a proper occlusion on that. And when you explain to the patients why you're doing and what you're doing, and they're able to see the results, your credibility skyrockets. And that's kind of what you want. This is a reputation. Like I said, everybody has a reputation. Good or bad, you have a reputation. And I'd like it to be good.
So really, I think if we were to talk to our family and friends, we'd be saying, get an education, understand what's going on in your mouth and how it impacts your body. We'd be saying, get yourself cleaned up from an oral health point of view and your family cleaned up. And then really, I guess it's about trying to engage your physician or your medical GP to ask them about what they know. And if they're engaged and interested in that, that's wonderful. But if not, maybe try and engage them and get them to learn more and understand that, or indeed find a different physician. If you were a young dentist or even a middle-aged dentist, somewhere around the age of 50 like me, and you're thinking, This is really fascinating. I want to learn more about that. Where do I go to explore that, understand that, get involved with that? What would be the best resources for someone to begin with and to explore?
Well, the American Academy of Oral Systemic Health is a great resource that you can use on that. You can begin just doing your own research. Like we said, you can DuckDuckGo or whatever search engine you use to look for oral systemic links between dental disease and the heart, dental disease and in the pancreas and diabetes, or just start doing your own research. There's plenty of it there. You can go to our site, which is the dentalmedicalconvergence.org. And I have a page up there. If you go the dentalmedicalconvergence.org/doctors, lowercase, that brings you to a page that has about 45 links that go to research that shows how it affects. I mean, I'm not the researcher. I'm a general dentist. I'm not the expert. I'm a messenger. That's all I am, is a messenger trying to get the message to so many people. The experts are out there, the Bale and Donines, the Dr. Thompson, they're all out there. But we're just trying to get the information to the general public so they can begin maybe modifying the way they take care of their dental situation and also just the way they look at the mouth. I tell physicians, I said, if you think your mouth is not part of your body, when you go to work on Monday, leave your mouth at home. And it doesn't work. You can't do that. So that's the whole idea right there. You can. There's so many places you can get that education. Just do a search engine, or like I say, you're welcome to come to our website and see what you can learn.
I think that's a really good place to start. So again, the dentalmedicalconvergence.org and aaosh.org are the other sites that you've mentioned there as well. Chuck, you've been really generous with your time today, and I'm grateful to you, because I think this is an important message on lots of different levels. A, from the taking care of the health of our patients, B, informing ourselves and so we can understand, you know, the role we play in healthcare and the importance of the role. And we're not just tooth mechanics, we are healthcare providers, and elevating the understanding, the importance of the role that we have, I think is a really wonderful thing as well. Any final thoughts, any final comments for our audience as we get set to leave you to a lovely day in Florida?
It's interesting that so many times the source of our problems, our medical problems, is right under our nose, literally right under our nose, and we're not looking.
Touché.
So if you can look under your nose, tell me what you find.
Chuck, once again, I really appreciate your generosity. Thank you so much for being on the show, and I hope we can catch up again soon.
Jesse, thank you so much. It's an honor. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.